Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. It's Gil Alexander, Danny Higgins in for the vacationing Kelly Vidley on this Monday morning. How you doing, Danny?
I'm doing pretty well. How about yourself, Gil?
Great. My ears don't work, though, this morning. The battery pack gave out within the first 10 seconds of the show.
Oh, that's not good.
So that's done.
We'll get that fixed.
Somehow I see better without glasses this morning. That's strange.
I know. You always get the glasses on.
I don't know what's going on here. It's a very strange morning. Kelly on vacation in Florida, enjoying his time with family for Christmas. We wish him well. We saw a picture of him with, I guess, as a niece.
Yes.
Sitting on his couch.
I believe that's his niece, yes.
So he seems to be having a good old time. We will get into all of it. National Football League Week 17 guessing lines. The exercise that looks to extract value for our upcoming bets. I wish I had stuck to my guessing lines thoughts from exactly 1 week ago. Those were the good ones. Chargers, cha-ching, Panthers. Cha-ching. Everything else that I talked myself into during the week, Danny, it seems like that didn't work out.
Yes.
Including what I played for the Megapod, which was, you know, it's just I hate myself for that. But the guessing lines exercise of just first instinct stuff seems to be the most tried and true thing. And again, I don't know the lines. I will. We will go through all of Week 16 games. Danny will, I will guess what the lines are, and Danny will tell me what they actually are. And within that exercise, we look to extract value. Danny boy, we always start with what goes on in Circa Survivor. No change to Circa Survivor Classic.
Yep, all got through.
All got through. We have one pending on the Niners tonight.
Oh, that's right. Yes, we have one pending.
One pending on the Niners tonight. So, let's assume, let us do this. You know what they say about assuming, Danny. It makes you regret something you said earlier and perhaps makes a donkey out of certain people.
Yes.
But here's the deal. If, let's just say for making it easy purposes, the Niners win tonight against the Colts, we'll talk about that. Let's say they do. We'll talk about the implications of that game coming up. What you're staring at with those 10 remaining Survivor members, and each of those entries, assuming there are 10, each worth $1.871 million, $1,871,800 to be precise, they are staring at a Christmas quirk now on Thursday. Remember the three games on Thursday. Of Dallas at Washington, Detroit at Minnesota, Denver at Kansas City. Those have always been the games, but those have not always been the games with these three quarterbacks involved, one in each. Perhaps Josh Johnson for Washington, Max Brosmer, we're learning it's pronounced Brosmer now, Max Brosmer for the Vikings, and Chris Oladokun of the Kansas City Chiefs. And of those remaining 10, nobody has two of those three opponents. So nobody has Detroit. Nobody has Denver left. So five do have Dallas. So what I'm basically saying is five of these remaining entries must take one of those three quarterbacks, Johnson, Brosmer, or Oladokun, if that's what it comes down to with those teams.
I'd say you can flip a coin, but you can't flip a coin with three, Gil.
So. No, you cannot. Unless it lands on its side, Danny,
yes.
Which is possible. But that's the predicament those guys are in, and that's why we are unlikely to see again a chop until after Thursday. But I do believe that then spikes immensely after Thursday. Not knowing the personalities, yeah. But I would think it would. See who gets through there. We shall see. By the way, tonight's game, where one survivor remains, San Francisco at Indianapolis tonight. San Francisco has already clinched a playoff berth. They did so by virtue of the Lions' loss yesterday, as did the Bears clinch a playoff spot by virtue of the Lions' loss yesterday. But the Niners, remember, in addition to the Seahawks having the number one seed on their racket, if they win their last two, they're the number one seed in the NFC. If the Niners win their last three, including tonight's, then the Niners are the number one seed in the NFC. And then as far as the Colts are concerned, they are, let's put it this way, if they lose tonight, they are on life support. If they lose tonight, they would have to win their final two games, and the Texans would have to win. Would have to lose their final two games. Colts would have to win their final two. Texans would have to lose their final two for the Colts to get in if the Colts lose tonight in a game where they are 5.5-point dogs at home with old man Rivers going up against the Niners. That's the story with that game tonight. I have no play. You have any play on tonight's game?
Tonight, no. I have nothing as of right now. I'm looking at some player props, but I have not touched anything as of so far.
Okay. Shall we begin? Let's do it. Let's try to get some value. Week 17, guessing lines in the National Football League. All right, let's do this. What do you have first?
All right, first up, we have Thursday, 1 p.m. Eastern. We have the Dallas Cowboys going to take on the Washington Commanders.
All right, Dallas Cowboys at Washington Commanders, what we just mentioned as one of those three Thanksgiving games. And again, the schedule on Thanksgiving looked like it was going to be awesome when the season began. Yeah, not so much now. We don't know if it's going to be Josh Johnson, who finished Washington's game against Philadelphia on Saturday. Could still be Marcus Mariota. Mariota is day-to-day, according to Washington. Dallas, first of all, they lose to the Chargers yesterday. And again, one of these things that I got right on guessing lines a week ago, wish I had stuck to that as the week went on with the Megapod and such. But Dallas started the game, 10 plays, 79 yards. They convert a 4th-and-2 at the Chargers 39, Dak to Pickens for 28. 3 plays later, Dak to Flournoy from 5 out, 7-0 Cowboys, 10-20 left in the first quarter. Chargers spawn. Chargers immediately respond. 6 plays, 65 yards. Herbert to Quentin Johnston from 23 out. Great catch. 7-7, 6:43 left in the first. And then Dallas, after a would-be Dak to Flournoy touchdown nullified by a hold, they settle for an Aubrey 33-yard field goal. 10-7, Cowboys early second quarter. Chargers can't be stopped in this game by the Dallas defense. 7 plays, 87 yards. Herbert to McConkey. Where's Ladd McConkey been all year? From 25 out, 14-10 Chargers. Dallas responds to that. It was a track meet in the first half. 4 plays, 80 yards. Dak to Pickens from 38 out, 17-14 Dallas. A little before the midway point of the second quarter. And then the last drive was just a phenomenal one from the Chargers. 16 plays, 81 yards. Herbert in from 1. Chargers late at the half, 21-17. 24-17 now in the third quarter. Dallas 4th-and-1 at the Chargers 16. They go to Hunter Lemke to try to get the first down. Stuffed by Deshaun Hand. And from that point on, it was all Chargers. Chargers from their own 16. Herbert for 34 on 3rd-and-7. Herbert for 34, a run himself on 3rd-and-7 from their own 32. The big play, they have to settle for a Dicker field goal after a false start on 3rd-and-1. The Dallas 4 set them back. 27-17 Chargers. Then Dallas 4th-and-10 at their own 46. Dak incomplete to no one in particular. Chargers on the short field from the Dallas 46. 6 plays, Herbert to Johnston. Played a great game, having a great season. After some considered him a bust for 25 on 3rd-and-9 at the Dallas 45. That was the key play. 3 plays later, Hampton in from 5, 34-17. Chargers doubling up the Cowboys at that point. Joe Milton would come in garbage time. He would get hit by Derwin James and fumble. That's the story. 34-17, Chargers win it going away. Chargers, one of 6 AFC teams now still vying for the number one seed in the American Football Conference. But as far as the Cowboys, a season that was already eliminated prior to this game even started, didn't go well for them yesterday. They're at Washington. If you missed it Saturday, and by the way, some of us were at a wedding. Some of us missed parts of it. But Washington loses to Philly in a game where it looked like, this is one of these that I talked myself into, Danny, as the week went on, Washington +7. Looked like Washington would cover this. Will Shipley stripped by Mikey Sanistrill on the opening kickoff, recovered by Kane Medrano. Washington would settle for a moody 20-yard field goal, went up 3-0 in this game. Later, though, first half, Hurts to Devonta for 16 to start, from 5 out to end it, 7-3 Philly, late first quarter. Elliott would miss. Jake Elliott was having all kinds of troubles. He missed a 43-yard field goal try after that. Washington would respond, 9 plays, 67 yards. Mariota to the incomparable Terry McLaurin for 40 to start. Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, Bill, in from 1, 10-7 skins, 3:40 left in the half. And then Elliott would miss a 52-yard try to end the half. So Washington up 10-7 at the half. And then as the third quarter began, some of that old feeling started to creep in. Washington would punt after a sick 24-yard catch by Treylon Burks. Treylon Burks has made two of the great catches in the National Football League this year. Philly would respond, 17 plays, 83 yards, took 10:35 off the clock. Just a vintage Philly drive on a drive that extended by an illegal contact, by the way, on 4th-and-7. At the Washington 38, Hurts to Goddard from 15 out on 3rd-and-goal. That made it 14-10 Philly late third quarter. That was when Josh Johnson came in. Mariota had a hand injury, was cleared from the tent for concussion. So he's not in concussion protocol, but the hand injury lingers. 3rd-and-13 at their own 44, terrible across the field pass by Johnson. Cooper DeJean picked that off. Philly would go 7 plays, 37 yards, short field. Saquon in from 12 with 11:33 left. Washington 3 and out, pumped from their own 40 with 9:17 left. That's when you started to say to yourself, is Washington even trying? So again, down at this point, 21-10, down 21-10, punt from their own 40 with 9:17 left. And the next time Washington got the ball on a 3 and out, punt from their own 44 with 6:44 left. It's like, what are we watching here? Philly would then go 4 plays, 80 yards. Saquon for 48 on 2nd and 4, their own 26. 2 plays later, Tank Bigsby in from 22. 27-10 with 4:26 left. They oddly go for 2. Saquon converts to make it 29-10. That's when a brawl ensues and all kinds of ejections happen. As a Washington fan, I can sit here and say, if you're not even going to try in fourth down territory, or you're just going to punt it away when you should be trying for the first down, when you're down in a game like this, you're not really justified in igniting a brawl because you think the other team's showing you up. Kind of my feeling on that. Washington, 75 yards, helped by a PI on their last drive to make it a cosmetic score with a 2-point conversion, 29-18. Philly wins it. Philly clinches the NFC East title. Philly, by the way, Dallas eliminated in the process. First time an NFC East title has gone to the same team in back-to-back years in 21 years since Philly did it back-to-back-to-back-to-back in the early 2000s. This is Dallas at Washington. I said Dallas minus 3.5.
Light. We're seeing Cowboys 6.5 across the board.
So that sounds like it assumes Josh Johnson, mine assumes Mariota.
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense to me. We'll try to find value. I have a feeling on a weekend like this or a week like this, we will. Coming back on a numbers game right here at Visa.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Looking for the perfect holiday gift or a smarter way to bet the biggest games of the season? Well, VSiN's holiday special gives you VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $79. You'll get daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, covering everything from bowl season and the NFL playoffs to March Madness and the Masters. Plus, you get our college football playoff betting guide featuring expert playoff brackets, power ratings, CFP and bowl best bets, and access to game previews for every bowl game on vsin.com. Give yourself the gift of smarter betting. Head to vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Danny Higgins in for the vacation, and Kelly Billen. And for the first segment today, I can hear what's happening in my ears.
That's good.
It's very difficult doing that first segment naked, if you know what I mean. If you know what I mean, Danny. All right, here's the deal. I just want to point this out because I know this game is coming up. I believe it's the next game. Is the Detroit game next on Thanksgiving?
Yes, Detroit and Minnesota.
So before we even get into the Detroit and Minnesota game, let's just point out we've talked about this. Kelly and I have for many, many weeks now. I think as early as maybe a month or 6 weeks ago, not 6 weeks, but we started about 3-4 weeks ago, we started talking about how you can kind of figure out who the playoff teams are already. Now, we might have had one or two messed up. I thought Chicago would be out, Detroit would be in. Looks like it's going to be the opposite of that kind of thing. But generally speaking, you had the group ready to go. And now with 2 weeks left in the season, plus a game tonight, you really have the playoff pictures solidified. There are different possibilities when it comes to Steelers-Ravens, but that's a magic number of one. We talked about if the Colts lose tonight, it's a magic number of one between them and the Texans. So, I mean, at the fringes, there is possibility, but not much with 2 weeks left in the season. I don't ever remember a season quite like this where it's sort of the opposite of parity. But I want to say that the notion of correlated parlays have been legislated out of the NFL for many, many years now, with the final week of the season, week 18, where they slate everything at the same time as kickoffs. We have a correlated parlay possibility here, though. If you believe that the Minnesota Vikings, I assume Detroit at Minnesota is the next game.
Yes.
If you believe that the Minnesota Vikings can beat the Detroit Lions, that would render the Packers game over the weekend meaningless to the Packers in terms of in or out of the playoffs. So that's just something to keep in mind because you look for these kinds of rare moments like this since the Lions play earlier, right? If you believe, that's a big if, but if you believe that the Vikings can pull off an upset in that game, I'm going to assume that it's an upset. I'm going to assume Detroit is the favorite. Then Green Bay against, I believe they play Baltimore on Sunday.
Yes, play Baltimore, which we might have the Malik Willis, Tyler Huntley showdown.
That's right. Another great quarterback duel.
Amazing. Can't wait to watch that one.
What did you call them off air? Electric?
Electric.
Electric games.
We have on Christmas. Electric.
But just keep that in mind, that there is that. If you believe Minnesota can be Detroit, then all of a sudden, whatever the Baltimore-Green Bay line is now, might very well shift towards the Ravens, because the Packers essentially will only have seeding to play for, nothing else at that point, because they will have been thrust into the playoffs as a clinched team at that point. Detroit at Minnesota. Detroit yesterday. What a game this was against Pittsburgh in a NFL season or NFL week where we had the Seahawks and Rams on Thursday. Good God. An instant classic. The Bears and the Packers on Saturday. Then there was this between the Lions and the Steelers. Steelers go up 3-0 on a Boswell 59-yarder. Ho-hum. Detroit matriculate from their own 34 to first and goal to Pittsburgh 4. Gibbs for 1. Gibbs 3-yard loss. Goff to St. Brown for 3. So it's 4th and goal to 3. Danny, did you want them to go for it at this point, or should they have kicked the field goal?
I would have went for it.
I got a lot of text. Yeah. People are like, can he just kick a field goal once in a blue moon? They went for it. Incomplete, intended for St. Brown. That would come back, perhaps, to mean something later. 3-3 now. Detroit on a drive here. This is in the second quarter. On a drive where DK Metcalf, oh, by the way, punched a fan.
Oh, yes.
6 plays, 62 yards. Goff to Isaac Tesla from 20 out. 10-3 Lions, 1:55 left in the second quarter. And then Pittsburgh from their own 20 with 1:55 left in the second quarter. If you had the Lions in the first half, I did. This did not go well for you. Pittsburgh along the way converts a 3rd-and-10, 3rd-and-11, and a 3rd-and-10. And then 2nd-and-10 at the Detroit 45, Rodgers to Gainwell, interfered with by Anzalone. Somehow he still catches it. Untouched, gets up to the end zone, 10-10 at the half.
That was unbelievable.
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 It's incredible. That whole drive was incredible. Third quarter, Pittsburgh matriculate. 2nd-and-8 at the 9. Rodgers, Darnell Washington for 5. He's hit by Thomas Harper. He fumbles. Recovered by Jack Campbell. Detroit, tie game. 3rd play. 3rd-and-8 at their own 5, though. Goff sacked in the end zone by Kyle Duggar. 12-10, Pittsburgh, 9:42 left in the third quarter. And then Pittsburgh getting the ensuing punt. And the ensuing free kick, 17 plays, 64 yards, that took 9:44 off the clock and ended with a Boswell 23-yard field goal. 15-10 Pittsburgh, early fourth quarter. So as bad as Detroit has looked out there, they're still down 5. But after a 3-and-out, Pittsburgh, 4 plays, 61 yards. Jalen Warren in from 45 to make it 22-10 with 12:23 left. Detroit would respond, 10 plays, 74 yards, 4th-and-2 at the Pittsburgh 27. Goff to Khalif Raymond from 27 out. 22-17 with 8:39 left. They cut it to 5 again. Pittsburgh deja vu. 4 plays, 65 yards. Warren in from 45 again. 29-17 Pittsburgh with 6:41 left. Detroit responds. 10 plays, 68 yards. Goff to Gibbs from 4 out. 29-24 with 4:11 left. And then Pittsburgh matriculates. 3rd-and-8 at the Detroit 18. Detroit, what happens there? Detroit with 1 timeout. First down wins it. Instead, as Tony Romo correctly pointed out, Rodgers threw the ball away, not as smart as taking the sack there on 3rd down, so that would give Detroit, in essence, an extra play. Boswell, 37-yard field goal try to go up 8, low snap, he doinks it off the right upright. Not used to seeing that from Chris Boswell. 29-24 with 2:05 left, and somehow Detroit has a chance to win this game. 4th-and-2 at their own 35, a PI on Duggar, then tripping on Highsmith. As soon as he tripped, he's like, oh, why did I do that?
It was such a blatant trip.
So blatant. 2 plays later, Goff to St. Brown for 24-12, then to Tisla for 11. It's 1st and goal at the 1. They're down 5. Detroit's going to pull off a miraculous win. And then Goff to St. Brown. Touchdown, easy peasy, but a pick called on Tisla. Then a false start. It becomes from 1st and goal to 1, it becomes 1st and goal to 16 with 21 seconds left. 1 timeout. Goff to Gibbs for 7. They use the timeout. Then incomplete. It's 4th and goal to 9 with 8 seconds left. And Danny, here was the sequence of the day.
Oh, boy.
Playoff implications abound on both sides. Goff to St. Brown to just before the goal line. Flags fly. Meanwhile, St. Brown pitches it to Goff, who very unathletically scores amidst the chaos. Game completely stops while officials discuss it. New York City involved. No one knows what's going to be called. Crowd thinks it's going to go their way. Steelers convinced it's going to go theirs. The call leads with, finally, after about 90 seconds, or what seemed like 10 minutes, quote, the ruling on the field is a touchdown. Crowd goes crazy. However, offensive pass interference on number 14. By rule, that penalty is not enforced and there is no replay. The game is over. Ball game. Pittsburgh wins at 29-24. No one timed down. Oh, my goodness. And Pittsburgh now, after Baltimore lost additionally last night, Pittsburgh's magic number is one. Pittsburgh wins one time or Baltimore loses once. The Steelers are AFC North champs. And oh, by the way, the Mike Tomlin streak continues. Unbelievable. No losing season ever in his tenure in Pittsburgh. Steelers is a franchise, I believe it's 22 years in a row, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so, yes. With Tomlin, though, that's unbelievable.
With Tom, his entire tenure. Never had a losing season. That will continue now. But that's Detroit. Detroit's at Minnesota. In case you missed the Minnesota game against the Giants real quick, Minnesota lost Jordan Mason on the first drive of the game that resulted in a Reichert 43-yard field goal, 3-0 Vikings. Giants 4th and 5 of the Minnesota 10, dart sacked by Jalen Redmond. Again, we're just going for stuff now in games that don't matter to teams like that. I guess in the case of the Giants, you should. Minnesota 2nd and 10, their own 39. McCarthy put it a little behind Naylor. Maybe should have had it. Pops right into the arms of Paulson Adebo. Giants set up in the Minnesota 44. They would settle for a field goal for Ben Sauls, the first left-footed kicker since Seabass. 3-3 early second quarter. The Minnesota 3rd and goal at the 8. McCarthy throws high, picked off the deflection by Holland. He takes it all the way the length of the field to the house, but Abdul Carter lined up in the neutral zone. Oh, God. Vikings settle for a Reichert 31-yard field goal. That's a 10-point swing right there on Abdul Carter being in the neutral zone. 6-3 Vikings. Giants 3rd and 15 at their own 29. Dart, who at this point in the game, this is late second quarter, hadn't completed a pass. He was 0-for-3 for 0 yards. He's picked off a deflection by Byron Murphy Jr. Minnesota set up at the Giants 16. 3 plays McCarthy in from 12. McCarthy aura farms in the end zone. That's what he does. 13-3 Vikings with 2:01 left in the second quarter. And then finally, on the next drive, Dart completes his first and only pass of the half. Minnesota second play. Now, Minnesota is ready to go into halftime up 10. Second play of the last drive of the second quarter. 2nd and 4, their own 41 with 24 seconds left. McCarthy sacked by Brian Burns. Fumble scooped by Tyler Newbin. 27 yards to the house. 13-10 Vikings at the half. And then McCarthy, we found out, was ruled out with a hand injury. That guy's made of glass. They would trade field goals. Minnesota would win at 16-13. Game was sealed when Dart was sacked by Van Ginkle late. And then Minnesota would run out the clock to end it. This is Detroit at Minnesota. I'll say Detroit -4.5 at Minnesota on Christmas.
A little light. Sitting 6, some 5.5s out there, but mainly 6 across the board.
Remember, Detroit in a must-win situation. They got to win out. They got to have the Packers lose out. Correlated parlay possibility. If Minnesota wins, that Green Bay-Baltimore line may change. What was the line again? What'd you say it was?
6, some 5.5s out there.
Okay, makes sense. Coming back, guessing lines. Week 17. How did we get there? This far in the season. Coming back on a numbers game right here at Visa.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
ProfitX, the number one sports prediction market, has some of the best future pricing you'll find on college football national championship and Super Bowl odds. With a huge holiday slate shaping playoff seating, now's the perfect time to get in and take advantage of ProfitX's 20% purchase match. Download ProfitX today and experience the future of winning. Use promo code VSIN to get started. Gil Alexander, Danny Higgins in for Kelly Bidlin on this Monday morning. By the way, happy holidays. Merry Christmas, if that applies to you and yours. We were talking about the Giants yesterday losing to the Vikings. Dart, Dunzo in terms of rookie of the year consideration. We can put that to bed once and for all.
Yeah.
Was never really a thing, but that was the end yesterday.
Yeah, he's out the 20-1 now.
Okay.
I'd say it's a two-man race.
Tet McMillan scored yesterday. That was big.
Yes, he's laying. You got to lay 250 now for him.
-250 on McMillan.
-250 on McMillan, and then Tyler Shuck up to +370.
Yeah, some people. Drew's going to be on later on the show. Drew Dinsick, because he can't do it later in the week, so he'll be on later today. He's a big Tyler Shuck guy on that.
Yeah,
but Tyler Shuck's stats aren't as good as Jackson Dart's.
No,
collectively speaking. Wins matter, though.
Collectively, because after Dart's performance yesterday, I mean, it's like he didn't really play.
It's closer. it's closer. As far as MVP is concerned, Stafford's still the prohibitive favorite there. Rookie of the year, they were showing. The one I really still think is anybody's guess is coach of the year.
Yes.
You can make a case for so many of these guys. I've got the Mike McDonald ticket. I know Kelly does as well.
Yes.
If the Seahawks are the number one seed in the NFC, I mean, how he's currently the second shot at 3-1. Mike Vrabel remains the even money short shot. So it's Vrabel. That's tightened a little bit, though. Vrabel's even money. McDonald is 3-1. Ben Johnson of the Bears, in terms of expectations, exceeded 4-1. Liam Cohen of the Jaguars, they just keep winning. He's plus 450. Some people will make the case for Kyle Shanahan. They could be the number one seed in the NFC. All the injuries the Niners have overcome at plus 650. All five of those guys could get it. And then there's poor Sean Payton's 11-3. Apparently no consideration in the betting market, according to the betting
market. Dropped a lot after that loss yesterday.
Is that fair? I don't know. Dave Canales, by the way, 80-1. I mean, would somebody vote for him?
I mean, I know you guys got the McDonald tickets, and I like the Seahawks as well, but, I mean, you take a look at Shanahan at plus 650. Those Niners, they get that one seed, they keep rolling, win the division.
Yeah. I think any of those guys could win it. What's next?
Next, all right, we got the night game on Christmas Day at 8:15. We got the Broncos headed to the Chiefs.
Broncos at the Chiefs. Broncos yesterday. Well, got popped in the mouth by the Jaguars. Maybe this is what they needed heading into the playoffs. 11-game win streak snapped by the Jaguars here. The Broncos' 11-game win streak snapped by the Jaguars. Denver started with our second drive. Lutz doinked the 44-yard field goal try off the right upright. Jacksonville goes 66 yards. Lawrence to Parker, Washington. What a game he had for 21 on 3rd and 9 at their own 35. Followed by an unnecessary roughness on Denver when they couldn't hear the whistle from the home crowd after an illegal motion call was made. Did you see that? And they hit Trevor and they got flagged for it, and that flag stands. That led to Trevor to Washington from 12 out, 7-0 Jaguars final seconds of the first quarter. Then Denver from their own 35, 5 plays. Knicks to Evan Engram for 33 to start. Knicks to Sutton from 15 out on 3rd and 5 to end it. 7-7 early second quarter. And then Lutz would hit a 54-yarder to put Denver up 10-7. But that was the high water mark for the Broncos in this game. Because then it was Jacksonville, 8 plays, 59 yards. Trevor to Brenton Strange for 23 on the drive. Trevor to for 24 from 2 plays later. And then 2 plays after that, Trevor to Strange from 3 out, 14-10 Jaguars. It would be 17-10 Jaguars at the half. Denver would respond early third quarter, first drive, 4 plays, 73 yards. Harvey in from 38, we're tied at 17. Just under 2 minutes into the second half, and you're thinking, well, maybe this is yet another Broncos comeback. Jacksonville, 75 yards, helped by roughing the passer and PI penalties, though. Lawrence in from 1, 24-17. Then Jacksonville, next time they had the ball, 4 plays, 80 yards. 3rd play, 3rd and 3 at their own 27. Lawrence to Parker Washington for 63. Next play, Trevor to Eddie N from 10 out, 31-17. Jaguars up 2 scores, 3:56 left in the third quarter, and Denver could never really overcome it. Denver, 2nd and 5 at their own 38. Knicks botches the exchange, fumble, recovered by Emmanuel Ogba on an unforced error. And then Jacksonville set up at the Denver 34, 3rd and 5 at their own, at the Denver 29, pardon me, Trevor to Washington for 24, or at their own 29, I should say. Trevor to Washington for 24, escapes getting stopped before the sticks, settle for a little 26-yard field goal, 34-17 Jags. Denver would cut it to 34-20, but that was it, because then Knicks would get picked by Jerrion Jones, who Scott Hansen on the red zone was fascinated by the fact that earlier he hurled R.J. Harvey on the sideline when Harvey was barreling towards him. Scott Hansen fascinated by the fact that Jerrion Jones happened to be the guy that Saquon hurled over back in the iconic play from last year. Denver would turn the ball over on downs. That's your final score, 34-20. Jaguars that much closer to the AFC South title. They are also in the mix for a number one seed. Denver still holds the number one seed, though. They have a tiebreaker, remember, over the Patriots. Currently, both teams are 12-3. They have the tiebreaker based on common opponents. And once again, the common opponent that ended up mattering, or at least will matter if those two teams end up tied, and only those two teams, the fact that the Patriots lost to the Raiders week 1. That's the difference. That's why Denver's the number one seed at this current moment.
Still remember that. Everyone was like, oh, the Raiders. And the Patriots are going to struggle a little bit. No, that went real far.
Right, all those Raiders fans became obnoxious again. Kansas City yesterday, in case you missed it, injury to insult against the Titans. Kansas City, second quarter from their own 3, false start. First play, then from the 1.5, Hunt stuck by Jeffrey Simmons in the end zone. 2-0 Titans. Minshew then out with a knee injury, believed to be an ACL. So in consecutive weeks, Patrick Mahomes, Gardner Minshew, ACLs. Chris Oladokun in five straight runs into Tennessee territory. Elatikin then completes his first pass, led to a Butker 54-yard field goal. 3-2, Chiefs halfway through the second quarter. Tennessee then would take over. 11 plays, 89 yards. Cam to Spears for 34, mostly yak. The big play eventually, Ward flips it to Chig Okonkwo from 7 out, 9-3 Titans. Elatikin would then go 5 for 5 for 40 yards plus 5 yards rushing on a drive. Butker would close that drive with a field goal, 9-6 Titans at the half. Minshew ruled out at that point. Tennessee, 9 plays, 75 yards. Ward to Chimre DK from 1 out, 16-6 Titans. And the Chiefs would only get it to 16-9 before Tennessee would go 64 yards late. Ward to Iuminor for a 24 on 3rd and 10 at the Kansas City 28. That set up Spears in from 4 out. Next play, 23-9 Titans. They would close at 26-9. Elatikin ended up 11 of 16 for 111. Chiefs had 133 total yards. That is it. I guess this is Denver minus 8.5, but that was with, I think, Minshew in mind. So this is probably double digits.
Yeah, 12.5.
Yeah.
Some 13s out there, but 12.5, 13.
That makes sense. I mean, you can't expect much more from Kansas City than you saw from them yesterday.
No.
Against the Titans.
Against the Titans.
Yes.
And now Denver's coming off a loss as well.
12. Imagine telling you, guess what, guys? Broncos are going to be a 12.5 point favorite at Kansas City Christmas night. What?
I'm saying, even look back a month ago, we probably never would have thought that.
Yeah, well, your next thought would have been like, oh, did Mahomes get hurt?
Yeah.
And now you're down to your third string quarterback. Who, by the way, has been with the team, been with their practice squad for a few years now. So familiar with the system, Elatikin is. He didn't, I mean, based on how he was thrust in the game, didn't do badly. But yeah, 133 total yards. Okay. Want to do one from Sunday morning? Want to squeeze in one?
Oh, we got Saturday first.
Remember, Saturday. Pardon me. Yep. Full weekend football.
So we got Saturday at 4:30 Eastern. We got the Texans taking on the Chargers out in L.A.
Texas at Chargers. Texans beat the Raiders, though not by as many as you might have thought. 14-point favorites. Raiders, 3rd-and-1 at their own 30. First quarter, Geno picked by Derek Stingley Jr., 31 to the house, 7-0 Texans. 10:43 left first quarter. Later, Raiders would tie it up from their own 39, 7 plays, 61 yards. Geno to Bowers from 7 out, 7-7. Then we get to 10-7, 13-7 on 2 Fairbairn 50-plus yard field goals, 1 from 55, 1 from 50. Second half, Raiders, 6 plays, 85 yards. Geno to Genty for 60, 14-13 Raiders early third quarter. Fairbairn would put the Texans back up 16-14 with a 49-yarder. And then Houston would go 83 yards, helped by questionable PI defending Collins when the ball looked uncatchable. Next play, Stroud to Schultz from 1 out, 23-14. Raiders, that was halfway through the fourth quarter. Raiders would come back, though, 5 plays, 65 yards. Genty in from 51, 23-21. Houston, 5:24 left. And then it would only end when Houston was helped by a PI. Stroud to Collins for 23, then on 3rd-and-8 at the Vegas 37 with 2 minutes left to seal the deal. Houston escapes. We already talked about the Chargers, who beat the Cowboys. Herbert threw for 300 yards on the button against the Cowboys. Johnston was a 4 for 104, catching with a touchdown. Win out. The Chargers win the AFC West because they play the Broncos coming up. Maybe more. They're in the mix for the number one seed as well. Houston at the Chargers. Again, Houston, magic number against the Colts right now. If the Colts lose tonight, would be 1 for them to clinch a playoff berth. I'll say the Chargers minus 3.
We got Chargers minus 1.5, 1 across the board.
Wow.
I'm liking the Chargers.
I must be higher on the Chargers. I keep saying this every week. I must be higher on the Chargers than everyone else. I think that defense is great.
And I don't see what the Texans' offense. And
yeah.
I need to see more.
I know they gave up a lot of points yesterday, but that's the Cowboys' offense. I might make that bet right now. Coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Danny Higgins in for Kelly Bidlin. Kelly Bidlin in Florida enjoying his family for Christmas. Happy holidays to you and yours. Great time of year. We will have Drew Dinsick on a little later on the show. Adam Burke after we get through guessing lines. I want to say FanDuel was trending here, Danny, so I looked to see what it was. First thing I saw was somebody complaining that if they don't get refunds for Travion or Lamar Jackson or any of these guys getting hurt on their props, he's like, there's going to be a lot of accounts withdrawn. This is so representative of these kids today, this younger generation, man. So entitled.
Hey, I had Henderson last night over 13.5 receiving yards. I'm not complaining. He got hurt. It happens sometimes.
It is such a great representation of the difference between, say, Gen X and younger generations. Y'all just think you're entitled to that kind of stuff. We get tweets, beat the book. As I once again appeal to the very coveted 65 to 79-year-old demo. Shrek McPhee, I'm the biggest Patriots fan around, but admittedly, there is no chance they win the Super Bowl. Good, possibly not great. Probably average overall. Bright future, though. Drake May looked great again last night. Drake May, first time ever, 300 yards passing, everybody.
Good job, Jake.
There you go.
I'll tell you what, if you give Drake May
50 games to get 300 yards, he will get it, damn it.
Tell you what, though, he looked good. I think he's developed a lot since last year, and also from the beginning of this year to where he's at now, he's developed so much.
He is... unquestionably, given Jaden Daniels' injuries this year, unquestionably, Drake May looks like the number one quarterback of that draft at this current moment.
Yeah, I agree.
Not really fair to Jaden Daniels because he was banged up this year, but I think that's the pecking order at this moment in time. Neil Saunders, I don't know if there's anything more satisfying than winning a bet while pissing off your friends, especially when it's on the first drive of the game. My friend is a diehard Panthers fan, and I bet on Mike Evans to score a touchdown. LOL. There you go. Neil Saunders. Hates his friends. Hoops by Hoots. Refs could have completely avoided that last sequence in the Steelers-Lions game with replay had they called Amon-Ra St. Brown's forward progress stopped. Guy literally was pushed backwards almost 5 yards before he pitched it back to Goff. I should have said this about this when we went over that game. This is an amazing final sequence. No one knew what was going on, and it took forever for New York City and the officials on the field to decide what the end result was. But I will say this, and this gets back to, again, the inconsistency of NFL officiating. I have seen that play where St. Brown just barrels right into Jalen Ramsey. I have seen that flagged on the defense in many games where it's like the defender is just taking a charge. Now, maybe Jalen Ramsey oversold it, but the point being is I have seen that called on the defense, which is completely unfair to me, right? What's the defender supposed to do? And in this particular case, I think there were two little subtle things that happened. One, Jalen Ramsey wasn't even looking at St. Brown. And the other thing was, if St. Brown had fallen to the ground, right, they would have flagged the defense for it.
Oh, yes.
So I just think there's little things that they don't describe in the explanation of this stuff where the players can do certain things to influence the call also. As it was, I think it's the correct call. Right? He does barrel into Jalen Ramsey. Okay, maybe Jalen oversold it. But that's probably the correct call in the game. It's just that we don't see it called that way every time. We just don't.
No, so, I mean, there was a handful of times yesterday where, I mean, we'll get to it coming up with the Raven game, but Keyshawn Booty got tackled at the 5-yard line. And there was no flag.
That's as bad as those calls in that Jets-Dolphins Monday night game from earlier in the season where you're like, what am I watching? Somebody tell me, did this game get... Did something I don't know about this game? Larry Fresh, Lions in a must-win situation? Guess they must not be that good, or whatever Dr. Bob says. That's exactly right, Larry Fresh. If you're in a must-win situation, you must not be that good. Chris Heath, Shanahan at plus 275 at Wager on the Internet. Plus 650 is a steal, he said, for Coach of the Year, which is what we quoted.
Yeah, DraftKings.
Colin Murphy, 100-1 on Jim Harbaugh. Way too long. If they went out and beat Denver the final week for the division with the O-line injuries and the Herbert hand injury, he has to be live. Shouldn't be in the top three as of now, but this number's insanely too high. I think you're right about that. By the way, we're showing 70-1, did we say? 75-1 on Harbaugh. I think you're right. I think it's too high. Whether he wins it or not, I don't know. Wilmo Betts. Why is Ben Johnson being glossed over for Coach of the Year? I didn't gloss over him. I said he's the one that, in terms of exceeding expectations, he's the guy. If that was the only thing, right, Ben Johnson and Mike Vrabel would be head-to-head, I think, on that. He says, maybe I'm a homer, but what he's done with the Bears in his first season is miraculous. I understand the same could be said about Vrabel, but how are the odds not closer? Ronnie Roach says, I'm pronouncing the Chiefs quarterback's name different from what they were saying on the broadcast. Oladikin. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. Oh, he was saying they were saying it Oladik. Well, that's not correct, Ronnie Roach. That's how they were saying it. It's Oladikin like Vatican, as you were saying off air. Yeah. Displaced Hoosier, you broke the trend. I thought the contacts were reserved for the Megapod. First of all, no contacts. I have never worn contacts in my entire life. Don't have them in now. For whatever reason, I came in this morning, and I can see my screen better without my glasses. I don't know if my vision improved on my trip to the Chesapeake Bay this week. I don't know what happened. Paul Zhang said 365 avoided Lamar and Judkins bets. Todd Bubba Horowitz, no one deserves refunds for injury. That's part of the bet. Of course, FanDuel and DraftKings started this crap by occasionally giving a refund. Happy New Year, my friend. Love the show as always. Thank you, Todd. Thank you, Bubba. Jed O'Connor, got to take your licks with injuries. Imagine going to your bookie asking for a refund due to a bad beat. The bookie, I'll show you a bad beating. It's true. All right, what's next? Also right. Saturday,
yes. We got Saturday night, 8 p.m. Eastern. We got the Baltimore Ravens headed to Lambeau to take on the Green Bay Packers.
Okay, and again, remember, for the Lions to make the playoffs, they must win their final two. The Packers must lose their final two because the Packers are up a game and a half. If the Lions lose to the Vikings on Thursday, Christmas, this game will be lined differently because the Packers will, in essence, have clinched and they will not get the number one seed. So at that point, it's just about seeding. Will the Packers play it the same way? Baltimore yesterday, in case you missed it, they lose to the Patriots. Five plays, 65 yards. Lamar to Zay for 19, then to Zay for 18. Zay Flowers, that is, on 3rd and 3 at the New England 39. Next play, Henry in from 21. 7-0 Ravens. And then New England, 3rd and 14 at the Baltimore 19, may pick by Marlon Humphrey. So Baltimore, from their own four, matriculates, and they're in a New England plus territory. You're like, wow, Baltimore is going to crush New England tonight. But 2nd and 4th in New England, 37. Henry for 5, ball punched out by Jalen Hawkins, recovered by Craig Woodson. They're like, oh, they're the Ravens. Boy, Derrick Henry has been marred by that all year, seems like. At least in primetime games, he has been. New England, 10 plays, 68 yards, 5-26, including a 3rd and 13 at the Baltimore 47. 20-yard hookup by Mac Hollins then to Hooper. Austin Hooper for 26, then made a Henry from one out, 7-7 early second quarter. The Patriots would go up 10-7. Ravens would tie it 10-10 on a drive where Lamar got hurt. Really strange play where he ran it, then he dove quickly, and then I guess he got hit in the back on the way down.
It was like in his back ribs. I'm thinking maybe a little kidneys, but...
You're a Ravens fan. Dan, explain yourself. Sorry. Don't blame you.
Yeah, I mean, it's just... Yeah. Yes, he took a knee to the back or to the ribs. We're still not 100% sure exactly what it is. Hopefully come out this week, see if he can go. You know, short week again we have. But it's going to come down. I think it comes down. How does Derrick Henry not touch the ball with 12... after 12 minutes and 53
we'll get there.
Seconds.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I want to get to.
10-10, 3rd and 2 now for New England. 3rd and 2 at the Baltimore 30. May sacked by our Darius Washington. Fumbles recovered by Draymond Jones. Baltimore, then Huntley to Andrews. Then Andrews ridiculously, this was the last sequence of the first half. Didn't make any sense. Didn't matter in the score. But what was it going on? May got sacked by our Darius Washington. Fumbled. May should have been more careful with the ball. But then Huntley to Andrews, and Andrews ridiculously tries lateraling it back, but threw it forward. Did you see that? Offset by a phantom roughing call. That was such a strange sequence.
Got lucky for the phantom roughing call.
So I don't know
what he was doing there.
Don't know what he was doing. So 10-10, loop short on a 56-yard field goal try in the second half. Borgalis hits a 41-yarder. New England up 13-10. Then Baltimore, 6-play, 65 yards, featuring Huntley to Hopkins, 16-yard pickup on 3rd and 5 at their own 40. Phenomenal toe-tap catch. 3 plays later, Zay in from 18. 17-13, Ravens late third quarter. Leverage on the extra point. So then they purposely kick it out of bounds from the 50, from their own 25. Then New England, 4th and 10 at their own 44. They go in punt formation. They fake it. Marte Mapu looks to throw. Receiver covered. Runs, fumbles. William Quinque recovers. Baltimore set up at the New England 44. Lamar now ruled out with a back injury. 7 plays. Henry in from 2. 24-13 Ravens. 2 minutes and 10 seconds into the fourth quarter. Ravens going to do this, right? Wrong. New England, 7 plays, 73 yards. Made a Kyle Williams from 37 out. Great pass and catch. Made a Ramondre for 2, 24-21. Ravens with 9:01 left. New England gets the ball back from their own 11 with 5:02 left. 1st and 10, the New England 44. May incomplete downfield to Booty. Tackled by Humphrey. No call. Strangest no call of the season.
Tackled. He literally got tackled.
He was being hugged, then tackled. 4th and 2 at the Baltimore 48. May slips it by Washington to Diggs for 21. 2 plays later, Stevenson in from 21. 28-24 in New England. That non-call didn't matter. 2:07 left. And then Baltimore, 2nd play, 2nd and 15 at their own 27. Huntley to Zay Flowers, hit from behind by Kalavon Chaisson. Fumbles, recovered by Marcus Jones. What a play by Chaisson. And New England at the Baltimore 36. Baltimore with all 3 timeouts, but they couldn't stop them. New England wins it. We'll get to the Green Bay part of that. Baltimore, though, they're on death's door also. Got to win out. Pittsburgh's got to lose out for Baltimore to get in. The most overrated team by the market every week of this season, the Baltimore Ravens. Sorry, Danny. And why they went away from Derrick Henry, I have no idea. Coming back.
The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, Sirius XM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Danny Higgins in for Kelly Bidlin on this Monday morning. A whole bunch more to get to. The only bet I've made so far, Chargers. I made that bet just now on guessing lines again last week. Clean sheet on guessing lines. Wish I had stuck to those plays the rest of the week and not added. But that's the initial instinct is often the correct one. So we got a bunch to get to. Also, college football later. Adam Burke will join us. We'll talk about the four first round games. Those are behind us. Four quarterfinal games now that are all lined and ready to go. Committee got it right with Bama and Miami, people. Leave the committee alone.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they did. So we'll talk to Adam Burke about that. And Drew Dinsick will join us on this Monday because he is bouncing for his Christmas break. Won't be available to us tomorrow. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Love y'all. This is great. This is from Colin Murphy. Says Harbaugh 100-1 at ESPN bet slash the score or whatever it is now. 100-1 there. Tom Weimer said free Evelyn. Whenever I get a tweet that I don't understand, it often, you know what the answer is? Maybe 100% of the time, it's a commercial that we run. Yes. He explains that the Upside app commercial had a guy refusing to stop for gas, emphatically telling his big sister, "No way, Evelyn." After a few weeks, they replaced it with new siblings and toned that part down. Thank you, Tom. Jesse Welch, here we go, Shuck. Two more wins, and let's get this 250-1 home, baby. Good luck to you, Jesse. Larry Fresh, after a trip back to the DMV, your vision is fixed? Marlowe's package must be doing wonders, or maybe not watching the Skins play is helping the vision. Is that a Wire reference that you just made right there? Sam, I don't know what he's referring to here. Close to 2 months later, he wants current odds on this. Oh, this is DVOA. We'll have to check on DVOA coming up, that we don't have the official DVOA, if that's what you're looking for there, Sam. Chris Heath, every time the Ravens flop going back to the playoffs, it's because they abandoned the run. Is it that simple? Dude, what? Derrick Henry yesterday, Danny again, 18 for 128, two touchdowns, did have a fumble lost. By the way, that Ravens loss yesterday, that is the 12th time the Ravens have lost up 7-plus in the fourth quarter since 2021. 12 times, the most in the NFL.
Unbelievable.
I mean, at some point it does become, what are you doing? Much of that has to be that. I'd have to go back game by game, but it sounds like that would be a common thread.
Yeah, and this is where I was just talking to you off air about it. Like, with Harbaugh's comments after the game, they asked why wasn't he in there, and he goes, looking back on it, he should have been in. You're the head coach. Make the call up to Todd Monken and say, why is 22 not in the game? Looking back on what? He should be in the game with 12 minutes and 53 seconds, and you do not put him back in the game. He's averaging 7.1 yards a carry. Wearing down that defense.
Ridiculous.
And you don't put him in the game.
Logic 3227. Gilly, woke up this morning with improved eyesight. Are you experiencing a heightened sense of awareness? Increase in strength? If so, I have some bad news. You may have been bitten by a radioactive spider. Logic, let me tell you something, man. When I was a kid, I used to root for that. I'd be like, man, I wish I could get bit by a radioactive spider. Get webs springing out of my
Spider-Man?
Wrists. Oh, man, yeah. Are you kidding me? All right, so the other part of that game, this is Saturday night between Baltimore and the Packers. Packers lose to the Bears in improbable fashion Saturday night. And yes, this was the game that I watched over other wedding goers' shoulders, acting like I was in conversation with them. It's just incredible. Packers, 4th-and-1 at the Chicago 7, love incomplete, intended for Watson. Chicago, 4th-and-1 at the Green Bay 4, Dalvin fumbles his snap. Manungai recovers for no gain. Green Bay gets to the 8. McManus, 26-yard field goal, 3-0 Packers. So a bunch of like deep drives that end up in very little. Then Green Bay from their own 5, 1st-and-10, their own 17. Love crushed, helmet-to-helmet, roughing the passer on Austin Booker. Love concussed, never to return. Malik Willison converts a 4th-and-1 at their own 41 along the way for 13. They get to the 4, have to settle for another field goal. 6-0 Packers at the half. Third quarter, Caleb to Manungai for 34. The big chunk, Santos, 46-yard field goal, 6-3. Green Bay from their own 35, 1st-and-goal to Chicago, 4. Jacobs hit by Nashon Wright, fumbles, recovered by Tremaine Edmonds. Still 6-3. Green Bay, we get it back. 6 play, 64 yards. This time they punch it in. Malik to Dobbs from 33 out. 13-3 Packers late third quarter, finally. 13-6 Packers now after a Santos 51-yard field goal. Green Bay gets it to the 10. McManus settle for a field goal. 16-6 Packers. A lot of deep drives with not much. And that would come back to haunt the Packers. fourth quarter. Chicago, fourth and one conversion at the Green Bay 48 along the way. Caleb for 12 leads to a Santos 43-yard field goal to cut it to 16-9 with 1:59 left. You know how it goes, though. Onside kick, no chance. Set up at their own 40s, onside kick, recovered. Unbelievable. It's the fifth onside kick recovered out of 50 this year. I believe out of 49, if I'm not mistaken.
It was a 4 for 48 before that.
5 for 49 now. Set up at their own 47 with 1:56 left. 8 plays, 53 yards. Fourth and fourth, the Green Bay 6 with 28 seconds left. Caleb to Jonnay Walker, touchdown, 16-16. We're going overtime. Green Bay gets the ball first in overtime, fourth and one at the Chicago 36. Malik fumbles the snap. Emmanuel Wilson recovers for no gain. Chicago then from their own 36. Fourth play, first and 10 at the Green Bay 46, needing just a field goal. Caleb heaves it. Perfect pass to Moore in the end zone. Touchdown. Ball game. Bears win. Bears clinch a playoff spot. Bears could still win the division. Bears could still get the number one seed. Rabbit's foot firmly planted you know where. This team is, I firmly believe it. I don't know. Call me crazy. But I think the universe decided last year when Washington beat the Bears with the Hail Mary. They're like, I tell you what, Bears, we're going to give this one to Gil. But I'll tell you what your reward is. You get everything next year. How about that? Bears are like, we'll take that. We'll take that. Okay, so again, I'll say Green Bay -4.5 here hosting Baltimore in a game that, as you mentioned earlier, Danny, could be Snoop Huntley against Malik Willis. But if Detroit loses, this will change. What do you got now?
Oh, we're sitting 2.5 across the board.
Only 2.5.
Only 2.5.
Okay.
Staying below that at 3.
I just, again, Baltimore, even as an underdog, to me, being overrated. Week after week. What have they done at all to merit any sort of benefit
Nothing.
Of any doubt?
Maybe if you bet them for the first three quarters, because you know they're going to blow it and come the fourth.
But again, I'm not betting it because I want to see the Detroit result first. Next.
All right, next up, we're going to Sunday. 1 o'clock, we have the Cardinals taking on the Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay, so with every game that matters, then there are games that don't. And they played, both of these teams played games that didn't matter yesterday. Arizona ends up losing to the Atlanta Falcons yesterday. In a game that Arizona was up 10-0 on an amazing, you see that catch by Wilson in the end zone?
Oh, yeah, he's great.
I mean, for a game that meant nothing, but Mike Wilson made an unbelievable catch in the end zone against the defender. Somehow the ball never hit the ground. He trapped it between his legs for a second, then it just sort of stayed up above his thigh. 10-0 Cardinals. It would be 10-3, then 13-3. They would trade field goals. Then Atlanta woke up, 3 plays, 65 yards. Cousins to Bijan for 41, Bijan for 11. Then Cousins to Bijan from 13 out, 13-10. Cardinals. We get to 16-10 Cardinals late second quarter, but then Atlanta from their own 40. Ryland slipped on a kickoff. The ensuing kickoff, so short of the zone. Atlanta ends up with a short field. Fourth and one at the Arizona 28. Cousins for 2, 6 plays later. Cousins to Pitts from 5 out. 16-16. Gonzalez's extra point blocked by Calais Campbell because that's what he does. And then Ryland would hit the upright on a field goal to end the half. So Ryland was having a tough go of it. 16-16 at the half. Atlanta would then go up 19-16. Ryland would miss another field goal wide right. He was having the worst day of his life. 2 missed field goals. Slips on a kickoff. Atlanta 66 yards. Then Cousins in from 1 after a pair of holds inside the 5 by the defense, 26-16 Falcons. It would get to 26-19, but it would end. Atlanta 4th and 1 at the Arizona 39 when Algier was stuffed for no gain. So Arizona's last chance from their own 40 with 2:05 left, 1 timeout, 2-minute warning. But 1st and 10, the Atlanta 42, Brissett picked by C.J. Henderson. Ball game, Atlanta wins that. And Cincinnati in the blowout of the day over the Dolphins. If you wanted a glimpse into the Dolphins' future with Quinn Ewers... Oh, boy. Bengals led the game 7-0, 7 plays, 91 yards. Burrow to Higgins for 35 to start. Burrow to Higgins from 9 out to end it, 7-0 Bengals. Dolphins would respond. Achan sprinting in from 48, 7-7. Then we get to 10-7 Bengals. High mark for the Dolphins when they led 14-10. Malik Washington from 10 out on a 7-play, 68-yard drive, 14-10 Dolphins. But then Cincinnati, after a Taj Brook 41-yard kickoff return, set up at their own 44. They go 56 yards at 7 plays. P. Ryan in from 4, 17-14 Bengals at the half. Here's the second half, Danny. Miami, 3rd-and-14 at their own 26. Yours to Greg Dulcich, stuck by Jordan Battle. Ball pops out, recovered by Miles Murphy. Cincinnati set up at the Miami 34, 6 plays. including a fourth and one conversion. Burrow for one, 2 plays later, Burrow to Chase Brown from nine out, 24-14. Next Miami possession, Ewers picked by Barrett Carter. Cincinnati set up at the Miami 35, 2 plays Burrow to Chase Brown for 23, then Brown in from 12, 31-14. Then Miami, fourth and one at the Cincinnati 47. Ewers rushes for no gain. Cincinnati from their own 47. 6 plays, Burrow to Jamar for 36, the big play. 3 plays later, Burrow to Chase Brown from three out, 38-14. Then Miami's first play, ensuing drive, Ewers throws it into a bunch of bodies, picked by Jalen Davis. Cincinnati from their own 48, 7 plays, Burrow to Gesicki from 17 down, 45-14. It would end 45-21. Bungles. Burrow, by the way, throws for 309 in victory. Jamar, 9 catches for 109. Bengals were plus 3 in turnovers. Quinn Ewers, we'll get to the Dolphins later. Not so good. Arizona, 3-12 at Cincinnati, 5-10. I'll say the Bengals by 4.5. We'll just throw it out there.
Light. We're sitting sevens across the board.
Wow.
Whole touchdown.
Really?
Yeah.
Again, that's one of those games, though. It's like, do I really want to rush and bet the Bengals on that? I don't know. I'm surprised that's full 7.
Full 7, and it's juiced to the 7. So
really?
Might be seeing some 7.5s coming.
Okay, well, I won't make the Bengals bet now, but I'm thinking about betting. I mean, I won't make the Cardinals bet now, in other words, but if I bet anything, it would be Cardinals here.
The Cardinals,
but
yeah.
Am I racing to bet them? No, the answer is no. By the way, where do the Cardinals stand now in the draft?
Ooh,
you may wonder. Right now, the draft order is Giants 1, Vegas 2, with those two teams playing in the Bizarro Super Bowl this week, here in Vegas. Cleveland 3, Jets 4, Cardinals 5. Rounding out the top 10, Titans 6, Washington 7, Saints 8, Bengals 9, Dolphins 10, Rams by way of Falcons 11. There you go. Coming back. Chargers so far. Let's get more. Next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget to check out the Sharp Plays unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting information, and alerts directly from the pros. QR code to scan right on your screen. Sharpplays.com. Check it out. All right, Danny, we're behind the eight ball. Got games to get to. Just want to read a few more tweets here. Joey Kiska. Come on, DraftKings. I just needed Mims touchdown for about 13 grand. Denver didn't have him on the field in the red zone with 3 and 4 wide receiver sets. Joking, of course. He was that close. Stringfellow Hawk. To not know commercials on the network, Gil, denotes that you only listen to the network when you're broadcasting. Well, I don't listen when I'm broadcasting, clearly. What do you listen to the other 21 hours of that day? You know, by the way, that's an interesting charge to make. First of all, I do. But there is some design to that also in broadcasting. A little broadcasting philosophy for Young Gil. I believe that if you listen to too many people, you, unbeknownst to you, subconsciously, you actually will take their stuff or their crutches or things they say. So I have always, even when I was doing music radio, I have always sort of as a philosophy decided that I am not going to, so that what we do is different. By the way, might be worse, might be better, whatever, but it's different and it will be authentic and it won't be derivative of anybody else. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. Yeah.
That's just philosophy. Numbers, guys. How about this for a debate? With everything we know today, what's the order of last year's draft? I think it's still Caleb first, he says. Sure, you can't draft Drake first. Why not? But latest I'm taking Caleb is 2. What a draft. Fingers crossed with Jaden. Hope he can stay upright. I think if you do it now, we did this a few weeks ago. Kelly and I went through this because a few guys were redrafting the quarterbacks. And they said Drake May first, which I was fine with. What I wasn't fine with was that afterwards they were like begrudging. They're like, I guess Washington would still take Jaden second. Yes, he went to the NFC Championship last year. Stop it. Shut up. God, people like look at injuries, and with certain people, they're like, oh, it must be his personality. It must be him, endemic to him, that he's going to be oft injured. Okay, we'll find out. Maybe he will be. Maybe you're right. But really, at this point? So they were begrudgingly giving Washington Jaden before Caleb. I was like, oh, relax, everybody. When you all get to championship games, get back to me on that.
I could say you could have either May or Daniels 1-2 going back from last year if you wanted to make an argument for either
100%. And by the way, Caleb, I wish only the best for Caleb. I am so happy for him because he gets, we would run that thing last year, right? Nothing special. Oh, yeah. The Merrill Hodge thing.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. It was the guys behind the glass. I'm blaming you guys for doing that. But But he's having a great, I mean, he's having a great year. Now, again, does he still have plays where you're like, oh God, Caleb, just throw the ball away? Sure. We'll find out what happens with the Bears here. Jim Shogren. I hit this three-team parlay. Seahawks, Bama, and the Bears. Thinking winning the Powerball should be easy today after that win. Have a great day. There you go, Jim. Nicely done. Okay. And then we'll get to more tweets here coming out. Stringfellow Hawk. Oh, that explanation makes perfect sense. I was just busting. You know what? Kyle D. Hit on the head. The ripple effect from the Hail Miriam has been incredible for the Bears. Ben has done a fantastic job with reinventing the offense, but he wasn't exactly handed the keys to a Honda Civic. Eberflus just couldn't unlock the offense potential. I agree with that too, Kyle. It's a great point. All right, Danny, let's get some more besides the Chargers. What do we got here?
All right, we got 1 p.m. on Sunday. We got the Pittsburgh Steelers headed to Cleveland to take on the Browns.
Pittsburgh, we talked about. Unbelievable finish. I think the refs got it right, but good God. Mike Tomlin was 103-0-1 when leading by 12-plus in the fourth quarter. Make it 104-0-1. 22nd straight non-losing season for the Steelers franchise. Is that 19 or 18 now with Tomlin? What's the number?
19.
19 of those with Tomlin. I don't know if you guys have ever heard that stat that he's never had a losing season. You guys aware of that? 29-24 Steelers. Warren and Gainwell just filling up the stat sheet from the backfield. Cleveland loses to the Buffalo Bills yesterday. 8 plays, 69 yards for the Browns to start. Shadour to Fannin Jr. from 13 out, 7-0 Brownies. Buffalo responds, 5 plays, 80 yards. Cook, 3 for 67 on the drive. Touchdown from 44 out. Great run, 7-7. Great run. Cleveland then 2nd and 13 at the Buffalo 31. Shadour puts it on his receiver, but the ball deflects high into the air, picked by Jordan Poyer. Buffalo goes 9 plays, 61 yards from that. Ty Johnson in from 2, 13-7. Badgley misses the extra point. It would get to 13-10 in the second quarter. Then Buffalo 7 plays, 68 yards. Cook in from 3, 20-10. Shadour then with a bandaged up finger, bloodied finger. And then Judkins with a gruesome injury, which they wouldn't show again. They really didn't show it at all. But you can see still shots on the internet. It's gross. And I feel this way as I do about Washington. Just injury, and Kansas City now can say this, injury to insult. It's just like you're playing out this season. The season means nothing. And now for the Browns, like, what do you have to be excited about? If not Shadour, you have to be excited about Harold Fannin Jr. and Quinshon Judkins. And now he gets hurt.
Yeah, I know.
It's awful. Just awful. 20-10 at this point. Buffalo 3-and-out featuring Allen taking a 22-yard sack back at the 1. They gave Myles Garrett a half sack for that, so he's a half behind the record now at 22 sacks on the year. Then Cleveland, after a face mask on the return, set up at the Buffalo 30 with 6 seconds left. Field goal try, low snap. Borges had trouble with it. He just throws it away, the holder. That play is indicative of the Browns' season. Second half, Cleveland 1st and 10 at their own 32. Shadour pass batted up in the air at the line, picked by Daquan Jones. Buffalo from the Cleveland 25 settled for a Badgley 41-yard field goal, 23-10. And Cleveland would make it interesting. 14 plays, 67 yards, 7:56 off the clock. Raheem Sanders with 8 carries on the drive for 35 yards. Fannin Jr. in from 1, 23-17 Bills. It would get to 23-20. And you're like, is this another Bills clunker out of nowhere? Cleveland from their own 34 with 7:05 left, down 3. 4th and 2 at their own 44 with 5:08 left. Shadour sacked by Greg Rousseau. Buffalo set up at the Cleveland 30, 4th and 1 at the Cleveland 11. Allen knocks in the end zone. He drops it. So Cleveland's got another shot at it, down 3 from their own 12 with 2:47 left, but Shadour is sacked by Rousseau, pressured by Rousseau into intentional grounding on consecutive plays. They end up 4th and 32 at their own 1 with 1:49 left. You're like, don't you kind of have to go for this? They punted. They never got the ball back. So there you go. Sanders, 20 of 29 for 1:57. How do we feel about Shadour?
Getting there a little bit more with him, but I still haven't seen it. I still think they need to let him loose. Like, just to see what they got fully. But, I mean, now you're going to have it with not having Junkins in that run game. I mean, you got the other Sanders at running back. I mean, let's see what you got. Hopefully they come out this week against Pittsburgh. We'll see if T.J. Watt gets back, see how he's doing for that pass rush for Pittsburgh. But if not, I mean, it's going to be – it's a tough one. I still think it's tough with Shadour, to be honest.
Am I going to be low on this Pittsburgh minus 4.5 at Cleveland?
You're actually ding, 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 4.5.
Oh.
4.5 across the board.
There you go.
Yeah.
I had a lot of 4.5s in my head looking at these yesterday. 4.5, Pittsburgh at Cleveland. Okay, next.
All right, next up we're going to have the New Orleans Saints taking on the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Again, this only matters for draft position or for those who have Tyler Shuck Rookie of the Year tickets who are like, let's go. 5-10 Saints, 3-12 Titans, catch the fever. Saints, in case you missed it yesterday, against the Jets, 2nd place, 2nd-10, their own 28. Taysom for 8, tackled by Malachi Moore. He fumbled. Quantez Stiggers recovered. Jets set up at the New Orleans 37. They have to settle for the Folk 29-yard field goal, 3-0. Then Charlie Smith, Gaelic football player, would tie it at 3 apiece. Then he would put them up 6-3. Folk would tie it at 6-6. Smith would put the Saints back up 9-6. Then Smith would miss a 61-yarder in the half. So it's 9-6 at the half. And then it was all New Orleans. Second time they had the ball in the second half. Shuck to Olave from 23 out, 16-6. Jets, next drive, 3rd and 5 at the New Orleans 47. Cook sacked by Nathan Shepard, fumbles. Chase Young recovers. We have a Chase Young sighting. New Orleans set up at the Jets 46. Smith with a 50-yarder, 19-6. Then Cook was picked by Jonas Sanker. That would lead to another Smith field goal, 22-6. And New Orleans would end the scoring. Taysom Hill to Olave for 38. 29-6. Saints win it. Going away. Shuck throws for 308. 32 for 49 for 308. They outgained the Jets 412 to 195. And Brady Cook, was sacked 8 times. Is that good?
No.
And then Tennessee, as we talked about, they beat the Chiefs and they held the Chiefs to 133 yards. Cam Ward, 21 of 28 for 228. Pollard and Spears did all the damage out of the backfield. Saints by 2.5 on the road at Tennessee.
Ding, ding, ding. Saints 2.5.
Yeah, can't quite be 3, but they deserve the favorite.
Oh, they're sitting right around 2.5 across all the boards.
Let's squeeze some more.
All right. Next, we have 1 o'clock again. The Jacksonville Jaguars taking on Indianapolis Colts.
Okay, so Colts sight unseen again. The Colts tonight against the Niners. 5.5-point home dogs. Repeating the playoff situation again. Forgive me for repeating everything again on this stuff, but whenever the teams come up, I just want to mention it. Colts have to... This is a big game tonight because the Colts lose against the Niners. They lose, then all of a sudden they must win their last two, and Houston must lose their last two for the Colts to get in. Old Man Rivers, second game for the Indianapolis Colts. Threw for 120 yards last week. Again, they play the Niners tonight. They host Jacksonville. Jacksonville, Danny, one of the 6 AFC teams, 6, that could still end up with a number one seed.
Wild.
Currently inhabited by the Broncos at this moment. Trevor, in victory over the Broncos yesterday, 23 of 36 for 279, 3 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 5 times. Parker Washington, 6 for 145 and a touchdown. They outgained Denver 445 to 346, outgained by Denver 445 to 346, but they were +2 in turnovers. I said Jacksonville -4.5, placeholder.
Light sevens. And 7 across the board, full touchdown.
Yeah, we'll see how the Colts do tonight. That could
see how they look.
You might have a better number. I might have a better number. We'll see. Okay, coming back. So far, just a bet on the Chargers. Looking for more. Guessing lines. Week 17 in the National Football League. A little college football a little later on. Drew Dinsick as well. Adam Burke. It's a numbers game right here at VSiN.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Don't forget, on Christmas Day itself, you're thinking to yourself, well, you know, I got my stuff to do, so surely VSiN's got their stuff to do. Oh, no. Oh, no. Everybody slows down, not us. While you're celebrating, traveling, or taking a rare day off, we'll be live all Christmas Day with wall-to-wall betting coverage. Your morning starts with VSiN by the books, followed by a numbers game and a special edition of Live Bet Christmas to guide you through the early action in the afternoon and evening. We'll keep the insights coming with Follow the Money, VSiN Primetime, and Cashing Out. So even if your routine shifts during the holidays, your betting coverage will not. From bowl season NFL action, plus the NBA's holiday slate, VSiN is your home for holiday betting coverage. And we look forward to it. I will be here on a numbers game. I know Dave and Jensen will be here for By the Books to kick off the day.
Yes. And I'll be here with you.
And you will be here.
I will be here.
Danny Higgins in the hizzy. Ooh, Christmas, top 10 Christmas jams, Danny, by popular demand. Oh, the demand. Oh, yeah. There's so much demand for it. I've got the supply. We get tweets beating the book. 3Jack, H3131. Gil, we all appreciate your authenticity, but I did hear Captain Dave, speaking of Dave Ross, Danny. Captain Dave is on their racket this morning. Looks like you're going to have to square off. Did DraftKings offer an early exit for the Jake Paul fight? Because that dude was out. Oh, a couple things. One, trust me, on my racket is something we've used on this show since the dawn of time. And then the DraftKings thing. So during the night before the wedding, everybody's gathered at the bar downstairs. So my buddy Tommy, who's just absolutely drunk out of his mind, says, "Hey, you have Netflix on your phone?" I'm like, yeah. He goes, "Let's watch that fight." So while we have We were watching the vote. It was ridiculous. Jake Paul probably went to his knees like 10 times?
I think I saw it was 9 times.
9 times.
It was 9, yes. He tried 9 takedowns, which you don't do in boxing.
Yeah, and not all, how many of them were actually from a punch?
No, he was just trying to...
Like 7 of them,
yeah,
maybe? I mean, excuse me, 2 of them out of the 9? Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad that that happened.
I mean, I watched it. I mean, I feel like that. I had to turn it on, see what was going on. It was, I don't know if I would call it entertainment.
Hey, Gil, you got Netflix on your phone? Schizo 360. I got Nick Amawori 50-1 for Defensive Rookie of the Year. I've had incredible value on this for weeks now, but with 2 weeks left in the season, Hard Rock's letting me cash out at 3-1. Cole Schwesinger, you have him, right?
I have him at 40-1. Nick Amawori. Yeah, I do not get a cash out option. But yes, I have him at 40-1 on Caesars.
Oh, I thought you had Schwesinger.
No, I have Nick Amawori. Oh. Yeah.
Schwesinger is the current favorite at -750. I'm thinking of cashing out. What say you? Yeah, I don't know. I think so, but I don't want to tell you to do something. Because again, with voting, we have no idea if the market's a reflection of reality with voters. But Schwesinger did have a big sack of Josh Allen late yesterday. Blue Hen Bill broke the first rule of gambling. Never write up a win before the game's over. I broke it. I texted you or tweeted you for the Oregon pick. I got on a numbers game at halftime, had 3 winners tied to Oregon, 99-yard drive by James Madison to ruin the cover. Brutal. And G-Bob at Golf Tacos. For some reason Saturday, my TV was playing the A&M Miami game on ESPN2 with the McAfee sideline crew. Pat said a few times that A&M was matriculating the ball down the field. Feels weird to hear someone else say it besides you. Yeah, that is a tribute to, that is not mine, that is a tribute to Hank Stram, coach of the Super Bowl IV winning Kansas City Chiefs. Super Bowl IV winning Kansas City Chiefs because the NFL films show, or the, you know, when they go through every Super Bowl, that little half hour capsules of all the Super Bowls through NFL films, they have Hank Stram on the sidelines versus the Minnesota Vikings telling his boys, as he says, come on, boys, keep matriculating the ball down the field. So that's where that's from. Obviously, it's and then we've had tweets through the years. You're using that word wrong. I'm like, it's just a tribute to Hank Stram. That's all it is. All right, we're going to get through these in 2 segments, Danny. We're going to get through the rest because Drew and Adam are ready to go. Yes. What you got?
All right, next up, we got 1 o'clock window. Buccaneers taking on the Miami Dolphins.
1 o'clock window?
Or, yeah, 1 p.m. Eastern. The first.
Okay.
Yes.
These are still,
still 1 o'clock. Still we only have 2 4 o'clock games next week.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
The 7-8 Bucks, the 6-9 Dolphins. God, this is incredible. Panthers were the other one. Besides the Chargers last week, I had the Chargers and Panthers on guessing lines. Those both got home. So far, the Chargers again today. Bucks couldn't get it done. But the Bucks still control their own destiny in the NFC South, despite losing to the Panthers 23-20, in case you missed it. 3-0 Panthers. Tampa Bay, after a Cameron Johnson 37-yard kickoff return, set up at their own 47. 10 plays, 53 yards. Baker to Evans from 1 out, 7-3 Bucks. Then 10-3 Bucks. Carolina 3-out, 4th-and-2 at their own 43. The crowd boos when they decide to punt it down 7 in the first half, 4th-and-2 at their own 43. Well, it worked out. Tampa Bay 3-out. Carolina from the Tampa Bay 39 then. They settle for a Fitzgerald 41-yard field goal to cut it to 10-6. And then before the end of the half, Carolina from their own 37 with 106 left in all 3 timeouts, 8 plays, Bryce to McMillan from 22 out. Tet McMillan, presumptive offensive rookie of the year, 13-10 Panthers at the half. And the Bucs really at that point have to think to themselves, they kind of felt like they were controlling the game and they're still down on the scoreboard. Just been that kind of run for the Bucs. They come out in third quarter, though, they retake the lead. 14 plays, 66 yards, 23-yard run by Baker on 3rd-and-7 at their own 37. The big play, 11 plays later, Tucker in from 1, 17-13 Buccaneers. More than halfway through the second quarter. And then Carolina, 11 plays, 65 yards, tremendous Bryce to Jatavion Sanders, 6-yard touchdown pass after Young escapes the rush, stops short of the line of scrimmage, and hits the wide-open Sanders. Great play by Bryce. 20-17 Panthers closing seconds of the third quarter. It would get to 23-20 after they traded field goals. So 20-20, then 23-20. Panthers went back up with 2:20 left. Tampa Bay with the ball. Commit an unnecessary roughness on the kickoff return. So they start at their own 10 with 2 timeouts and the 2-minute warning. They get it to 2nd-and-9 at the Carolina 42. Baker with a mix-up with Evans, who cuts back mid-route, thinking Baker's going to scramble. Baker already in throwing motion, thinking he's continuing his route. Throws it right to Lathan Ransom. Ball game. Panthers take the lead in the NFC South. Buccaneers 1 game back, but again, because they play each other next week and the Bucks have the tiebreaker, common games tiebreaker is what it would be if you're scoring at home, common games, Tampa Bay still controls their own destiny. But again, the Panthers' magic number is now one. That's the story there. Ewers, by the way, so it's Tampa Bay at Miami. Ewers, in case you were wondering about his stats, 20 of 30 for 260 with two picks. Dolphins minus 3 in turnovers in that game. Tampa Bay minus 5.5, I said, at Miami.
Right on the nail, 5.5.
No man's land.
Yep.
Okay. Next.
Next up, we got the New England Patriots heading to the New York Jets.
Patriots, one of six teams that can still get the number one seed. Currently, they lose the number one seed. If the playoffs were to start tomorrow, and this just in, they don't. But if they did, they would lose the tiebreaker to the Broncos based on common opponents. That common opponent that mattered, the fact that the Patriots lost to the Raiders week one. Broncos beat the Raiders twice. New England at the Jets. New England, by the way, largest comeback yesterday, 11 points. Sorry to rub this in on your Ravens.
Right.
That was the Patriots' largest comeback since that Super Bowl versus Atlanta.
Oh, wow.
When the only Super Bowl where the score in the middle of the game, 28-3, is more famous than the final score. They clinch a playoff berth, by the way, the Patriots do, so they did get that yesterday. May was 31 of 44 for 380, his first ever 300-yard passing game. Mazel tov to Drake May. Diggs, 9 for 138. Drake May did throw one pick, lost a fumble, two touchdown passes, was sacked three times. Brady Cook for the Jets yesterday in defeat, 22 of 35, 188, was sacked eight times, as I mentioned, against the Saints, lost a fumble. They were outgained. The Jets were 412 to 195 by the Saints. This has to be more than 10. Patriots minus 10.5 at the Jets.
It's sitting Patriots 12.5, 13, depending on where you shop around.
Okay.
And we do have confirmation that Brady Cook will be a quarterback for the Jets.
Brady Cook,
yes,
what's the game?
They're going to ride with him.
Ride with Brady Cook. Let's ride.
All right, let's ride.
Next.
All right, next up, we have the Seahawks headed to Carolina to take on the Panthers.
All right, we don't have to go through the Seahawks-Rams game again. We did on Friday, but let's just say an instant classic. Seattle now inhabiting the number one seed in the NFC at 12-3. They were 0-172, 0-172 when trailing by 15-plus points in the fourth quarter. After that game the other night, 1-172, 1-172. Seahawks officially clinched a playoff spot. They gave up 581 total yards to the Rams, were minus 3 in turnovers, won the football game. Darnold, 22 of 34 for 270. Kenneth Walker, 11 carries for 100 yards and a touchdown, 3 catches for 64. Jackson Smith in Jigba, 8 catches, 96 yards and a touchdown. At Carolina, Bryce was 21 of 32 for 191, 2 touchdowns, no picks yesterday for the Panthers. Okay, so implications for both teams. Again, Panthers' magic number is 1, but even if they lose this game, it would still come down to that game week 18 against the Buccaneers for them and the playoffs and winning the NFC South. Seattle trying to secure the number one seed. If they win out, they're the number one seed. But remember, if the Niners win out, they're the number one seed because the Niners play the Seahawks week 18. So this is kind of the game in between. I'll say Seattle minus 5.5. I'll use the no man's land number again.
Yeah, well, lights, 7.5 and some sevens out there.
Ooh, that's a little high.
It's a little high.
That's a little high. Oh, interesting.
Like Seahawks that. Got a little rest.
Am I going to bet the Chargers and Panthers again back-to-back weeks? Is Wayne Brady going to have to do that? I might have to. Let me see if I'll make that bet here on the break. Coming back, we'll close it out. Guessing lines next.
The Sports Betting Network.
Back on the numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino. Pardon me, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, without bifocals on today, without corrective lenses on today. Computer screen's awfully clear today. What's going on? What's happening? You fly to the East Coast, you get your vision corrected, apparently.
I guess you go to the Chesapeake.
It's still blurry. Back there is still blurry, though. But my nearsightedness has expanded, apparently. A couple things. One, well, first of all, let's read some tweets here. We get tweets of beating the book. Derek Gwynn enjoying himself at the Saints game. He says, great few days in New Orleans. Saints game win. Shopping today. Adult beverages for food. That's a win. And he says, Southern Miss in the New Orleans Bowl. To the top. There you go, Derek. NJD107. Did I just hear you say Ted McMillan is the presumptive offensive rookie of the year? How dare you disrespect us, shuck 251 truthers. Well, presumptive just in terms of the betting market. Whether that's a reflection of reality, who knows, man? You might have Tyler Shuck get home. Weggs Pool. Oh, you're right, Weggs. He said, Gil, isn't Carolina's magic number 2? They need to win in a Tampa Bay loss or 2 Tampa Bay losses, correct? I thought you said Tampa Bay owns the tiebreaker if they win out. You are correct. Tampa Bay does own the tiebreaker, as I mentioned, and on common opponents. And yes, Carolina's magic number would therefore be 2, correct? But again, Carolina, you know, doesn't matter what happens to them. Well, I suppose if I shouldn't say it doesn't matter. Carolina, regardless of whether they win or lose this weekend, still alive in the hunt for a playoff berth. Of course, if Tampa Bay also loses, it would behoove Carolina to win, so that week 18 game does not matter at all. Rhodes knows if the Panthers win next week and the Bucks lose, and the Bucks lose the last week, doesn't matter, right? I'm not sure how you phrase your question, but basically it's very simple. Bucks have a current one-game lead over the Bucks, but the Bucks win a tiebreaker. So if the Panthers win and the Bucks lose the last, well, the way you phrase, basically all you need to know is that last game between those two teams will determine the division unless the Panthers win this week and the Bucks lose. That's the only way that game doesn't matter. Ties are a different story also. Do we get that straight?
I think
we
yes.
Okay. Let's wrap this up. What do we got still?
All right, now we're into the... We only got 2 4 o'clock games this week, late window. So we got 4:05. We have the New York Giants coming out here to take on the Las Vegas Raiders.
The Bizarro Super Bowl for the number one pick in the draft.
Number one pick.
We think, barring him, you know, something happening week 18, yes. Right? Brent Musburger was in studio here the other day, last week, and he was telling a story about how he has these tickets. And, you know, at the beginning of the year, like, oh, this is going to be a great game. And they said halfway through the season, like, oh, we got to get rid of these tickets. Couldn't get rid of the tickets. And he had to tell his wife, well, Arlene, I guess we're going to this game on Sunday.
He was like, we're going to go see Ole Miss's quarterback, Jackson Dart. That's how he phrased it. Yeah.
You know, we get to see this young quarterback, Jackson Dart. Dart, by the way, 7. He ended up, I mentioned he didn't complete a pass till late second quarter yesterday. Not to his team anyway. Dart was 7 of 13 for 33 yards yesterday. To all those who had Dart Rookie of the Year tickets, I'm sorry. Giants had 141 total yards. They managed to push. That was a Dr. Bob play. It was a push.
Yeah.
Geno, 16 of 23 for 201. Ashton Jeanty, probably his best ball game, right? 24 carries for 128 yards and a touchdown rushing. 1 catch for 60 and a touchdown receiving. Dude, this has to be the Giants minus 3.5, right? Like, it can't only be 3. The Raiders are that bad.
Light. It's Giants minus 1.5.
Oh, I'm heavy.
Or heavy, I mean, sorry, yes, you're heavy. Giants minus 1.5. And there's some ones out there.
Am I going to have to play the Giants here? Am I really going to have a bet on this game?
That's what I was looking at, too. I'm like, after watching this past week, I'm like, can I really trust the Giants? But can I also really trust the Raiders?
So that word trust is the thing that bothers me here, right? It's, can you trust the motivations of these teams?
Yes. And just seeing that performance for Dart this week, I don't know what they were doing on offense. I had them in the quad box watching, and I was just, I really looked at the stat line, and I was like, he's really got 2 yards at halftime? I was like, wow.
If you think about it, right, they get, you know, they had players that are hurt this year. They get these guys back next year. The future, and Dart, I mean, you know, despite his game yesterday, I think most people think, solid quarterback to have. I loved him in college. I think he's a good player. They're not going to draft a quarterback. Be nice for them to have the number one pick. They could trade out.
Trade back a couple spots.
Yeah.
More capital.
Raiders, you figure, will draft a quarterback. Which quarterback? I have no idea.
You would think. They might go running back again. You don't know.
No, stop it. Stop it. Okay. I'll have to think about that. But it's that is a tempting play on the Giants, but I can't quite get there. Next.
All right. 4:25 Eastern. We have the Philadelphia Eagles taking on the Buffalo Bills.
Eagles win the NFC East. First time a back-to-back winner in the NFC East in 21 years since the Eagles did it in the early 2000s. That's an amazing thing. Saquon was 21 of 132 with a touchdown. The Eagles held Washington 220 total yards in their win on Saturday. The Eagles have clinched. Buffalo, 11-4. Buffalo, one of six teams in the AFC that has a shot at the number one seed. Has a shot at the AFC East title, have a shot at the number one seed. It's amazing. Josh Allen only completed 12 forward passes yesterday. Only five more than Jackson Dart did. 12 of 19 for 130. Didn't need to. Cook, 16 for 117, two touchdowns. They were outgained by Cleveland 294 to 259, but they were plus two in turnovers. I said Buffalo minus 3.5.
We are across the board. Buffalo minus 2.5.
Yeah, I think that number's better. I think your number's better. Well, I don't know what I was thinking when I guessed 3.5 yesterday. I thought it would be more than a field goal. That's interesting.
Yeah.
It's a weird mind frame to be in. Okay, next.
Next, we got Sunday night. We have the Chicago Bears coming out west to take on the San Francisco 49ers.
Sight unseen on the Niners. They play tonight again, 5.5-point road favorites at Indianapolis. San Francisco wins out. They get the number one seed. And, of course, the NFC West in the process. They do play the Seahawks week 18. That's why both the Seahawks and Niners control their own destiny as far as the number one seed is concerned. Chicago could still be the number one seed. So it's the 11-4 Bears against the current 10-4 Niners. Caleb was 19 of 34 for 250, and that pass to DJ Moore to win the ball game was just awesome. Just awesome.
Oh, it was a great ball.
It was one of those where you ever play basketball and your coach is like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Don't shoot that. Oh, nice shot when it goes in.
Yep.
That's what it felt like. Bears have won six games this year when trailing in the last 2 minutes.
Unbelievable.
That's just, again, Hail Miriam, but here's the trade-off. You lose this game, your season's going to suck. We're giving this to the Skins. They're going to go to the NFC Championship, but how about you get all the breaks next year? I'm talking like six wins in the last 2 minutes. Bears are like, sure, we'll take that.
We'll take that one.
We'll get a new coach too?
Yeah.
Great. Niners minus 4 as a placeholder before tonight's game.
We got Niners 2.5, a couple threes out there, mainly 2.5s.
Hmm. See, now that feels low. I'm going to bet the Niners right now.
I like the Niners there at 2.5.
Yep, that's a Niners play. Sorry, Bears fans. I love you. Bears fans are convinced I hate them. Yeah, I'm going to bet the Niners right there. Okay. And then finally, what do we have?
Last one we have Monday night. We have the Los Angeles Rams taking on the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, so the week ends with a bit of a dud.
Yeah.
The Rams trying to get the number one seed still. The Rams right now are the 5 seed. So right now, again, if the playoffs were to start right now, they don't. But if they did, the Rams would travel to Carolina for a wild card round game. Rams would be, you know, not negligible favorites on the road against the Panthers. Now, if the Niners win tonight, the Rams, just in current seeding, would drop to the 6th seed. The Rams, who had the number one seed like a minute ago, will have gone from 1 to 6. Just saying. Rams, again, clinched a playoff berth last week. First team to take a lead in overtime with a touchdown and lose to the Seahawks. They could now finish 13-4 and not host a playoff game, is essentially what we're saying here. And Atlanta yesterday in their win over the Cardinals, Cousins was 21 of 35 for 197. Bijan was the man. By the way, Bijan Robinson, you just think about like offensive player of the year. Isn't he really kind of, if you took that literally, like who does more on a football field than this guy?
Mean more for their team.
Yes.
Like you take him off that team.
Oh, Bijan, 16 carries for 76 yards, 7 catches for 92 and a touchdown. Love him as a person too. Just great dude. Rams minus 7 at Atlanta.
Well, light, it's Rams 8.5.
Rams 8.5. All right. I'm making the Niners bet right now.
Okay.
I'm not seeing a line at this book. I'll have to go to another one. But I'll be on the Niners in addition to the Chargers. And the other ones I'm thinking about here, I am thinking about the fact that I'm saying the Giants is a dog. Did you say they were a favorite? I'm looking at the Giants at plus one here.
Oh, it might have flipped then. It was,
wow.
It was Giants minus one this morning. One and a half.
Oh,
wow.
My God.
Oh,
I think on, I don't, but I don't know, because I don't know what their motivation is, so I don't know if I can do that one.
Like I'm in a teaser.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
And then what was the other one that I was thinking about? I don't even remember now. There was another one where I was like, well, that's tempting. So, those are the two official, though. Chargers and Niners, which I'll make here off the break. We'll come back. Drew Dinsick on the NBA, on NFL Week 17, what he's bet so far. And then Adam Burke on the college football quarters. Next.